Charlie Smith know how to have a good time. Good time. I'm just so emotional today, and I would be remiss if I did not share with you the depth of my emotion. I actually did three memorial services this week. The third one was for a woman who lived in Greenville for a long time, whose husband died in Greenville about 30 years ago. She moved to North Carolina, but she wanted her remains here next to her husband. And she was a lifelong Episcopalian. Her husband was a lifelong Jew. And she came to the conclusion late in life that she wanted a Unitarian minister to do her final service. And so I got to do that yesterday afternoon, and it was very, very tender. Very different from the other two services we had here this week. There were only five people present, her three daughters and two of her husbands, or their two husbands. Like, I've had more than one wife, people can have more than one husband, okay? But it's been a time of tremendous connection, tremendous give and take in this congregation, in the life of this fellowship. And it just touches me so deeply. I know many of you have been in touch with Johnny Floyd and Bobo Ghani during their time of grief. We have other folks in the congregation who are dealing with grief. It's powerful. It's beautiful to see the interaction, to see the connections, to watch people hug each other and connect. And it just really rips me out of the frame. I really have to say a word about Richard Fuller. Is Richard Fuller up there? He's waving. After service today, give an extra hug to Richard Fuller. He helped Teresa Hall Friday night with Susie's service. And then yesterday, he came over here at 10 o'clock in the morning and worked well past 7 for the SC Indivisible SC4 conference. He did the sound in this room. He did the sound in the fellowship hall. He was back and forth. He facilitated a Skype from Copenhagen. We had Dr. Todd May on the screen here talking to us from Copenhagen. It was an amazing, amazing day. And it simply would not have been possible if Richard Fuller had not worked constantly from 10 in the morning till well past 7 last night. I know all of you weren't able to be here for Susie's service, and I just have to share a particularly delightful moment. Jeanette Wynn called her a kick-ass clarinet player. And Jeanette told me, she said, as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I thought, oh my goodness, I've probably offended somebody in the congregation. And so when it came my turn to talk, I said, I know some of you were offended by Susie being called a kick-ass clarinet player. And I just want to say, if you were offended, that I apologize. However, if you were not offended and you don't have a church home, you would sure be welcome here. So it was just great. It was just a sensational night of love and caring and about 350 people crowding into this place. So it was really amazing. This sermon topic has been on the agenda for months, and we had no idea that climate change would be all over the news this week as it has been. But we didn't put the service on the agenda in deference to the news or the lack thereof. We put it on the agenda to ask serious questions about environmental activism and to affirm the environmental legacy of this congregation. It is so tempting to think that what we do doesn't matter. What can we do? What can we do? As I pointed out in promoting this service today, we have two members of the congregation driving totally electric cars. We have a Prius count in the parking lot that staggers the imagination. Good bumper stickers, too. We have solar panels on our roof, and our hearts are open to accepting more. We don't know who the anonymous donor was who put the solar panels up there for free, But we know who knows the anonymous donor, and we have communicated back to that person, yes, we will take more solar panels. We have Eric Anderson, an engineer in our congregation who builds wind turbines. We have people here who are working against climate change and for their own physical health by eating a plant-based diet. Most of you already know that it takes many times more water and land and grain to produce a meat-based diet than a plant-based diet. Most of you already know that it takes chemicals and cruelty to animals to conduct factory farming. And that the basic structure of the meat that most people eat today is radically different from the meat that was eaten by our parents and grandparents. These are scientific facts. We have two farm families in our congregation, the Cuyumjans down here and the Robertsons, who are not here. Talk with them, ask them questions, buy from them, get to know them. The Cuyumjans and the Robertsons are not factory farmers. Yes, the president has pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Yes, it is an embarrassment, and it deals us into a tenuous diplomatic position with the rest of the world. But we cannot lose heart. In the field of political action, I think it is very important to write letters and make phone calls. Emails are not as good. We hear this from congressional staffers all the time. Write a letter, make a phone call. In the field of personal consumption, let's consume less and reach for products that have as little environmental impact as possible, products with minimal packaging. You know the drill. One of the most alarming stories I heard was from a retired admiral in the Navy. He is making it his work now in retirement to sound the alarm about rising sea levels. He talked about the Norfolk Naval Base. He said, "We can build a 9-foot seawall around our base, but how will our employees get to work? Where will they live? Where will they buy their groceries?" You see, we are facing a serious threat to national security. Beyond all that, what are the spiritual issues at the heart of climate change? How do we develop group conscience? Consensus, common ground with folks who disagree with us? This has been a fundamental question in the current political debates and in the polarization that has been upending our culture for many years. Whether we are accepting broadly held scientific facts or debating that science or retooling our healthcare system to be more responsive to sick people or addressing the dozens of issues facing us, we have to find common ground. Can we risk being wrong and genuinely considering the points of people with whom we disagree when we are discussing an issue that threatens life on this planet? I think we have to. This is hard, knotty stuff. And if recent years of political discord have taught us anything, it is that discord will not create the kind of harmony necessary to make real progress. Discord does not create harmony. Is that right? Turn to the choir. Discord does not create harmony. Just as Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan set aside their differences in the early 80s to save the Social Security system, we need leadership that can cross bridges and meet in the middle. But we cannot look to politics alone to impact our environment, our health, our relationships across racial, sexual, and other cultural divides. We need to search deeply within ourselves for any changes that might make a real and meaningful difference. Deeply within ourselves. And we need to seek these relationships in a spirit of mutual respect. That is so difficult right now. Mutual respect is so difficult right now, but so important. You've heard me say many times, that many of you are already doing the best you can. So be affirmed in that. If you know for sure you're already doing the best you can, be affirmed in that. Maya Angelou famously said, "I did what I knew how to do. And when I knew better, I did better." Please don't hear anything in this sermon that feels like judgment or condemnation. Feel deeply the affirmation that I am offering that you are doing the best you know how to do, and only when you know better will you do better. I have received wonderful emails this week offering some information about why the climate change debate is actually a debate. With all due respect to the senders of those emails, let me just say we need to learn as much as we can and do the best we can, maybe even do better as we learn better. One final story that is told from the point of view that climate change is a serious man-made problem that we can correct by burning less fossil fuel and turning more to alternative sources of energy. About a year ago, the Los Angeles Times and other media sources discovered documents that showed Exxon executives had been hiding research into climate change for as far back as the 1970s. When Bill McKibben, the executive director of 350.org, learned of this, he went to his local Exxon station in Vermont and held a sign urging his neighbors to boycott Exxon. After disrupting his neighbor's business for a few hours, he went inside and paid the man the money that he would have lost in business. This is the kind of harmony that will end the discord that has us walking the razor's edge of self-destruction. Let us find ways to meet our opponents around the table of deep conversation rather than the battlefield. Peace be to us all.